WildTalkRadio.com.
I have one question for everybody here tonight. Who wants to walk with Elias?
Yeah. Wild Talk Radio presents to you the Monday Night Raw post show.
Because when the hounds come down to this ring, you got two choices. You get out of our yard, or we beat your ass.
Featuring Sir Rockin'.
I am talent. I am fame. I am music. I am the air you breathe. I am everything.
And Lindsay Ward.
Yeah, well, I'm here to make something perfectly clear. The queen is dead. And for the first time ever in Monday Night Raw history, I can rightfully say, long live the one, the only goddess of WWE.
Interact with us live and give us your thoughts on everything that happens on Monday Night Raw. Now step into the ring with us for the Raw Post Show.
Monday Night Raw.
When you shoot for the stars, one day you'll find a new leader. That is the hope for Bo Dallas and Curtis Axel, which is the big story coming out of Monday Night Raw. Good evening, everybody. Welcome to the Raw Post Show, live right here on the Wild Talk Radio Network, presented by Gerwick.net and MBG Films, YouTube.com/MBG1211. I'm Sir Rockin', and Lindsay Ward is here to tell us why Bo and Curtis need a new leader. Or not?
Well, I was enjoying the music.
Okay.
And waiting for somebody to fall on American Ninja Warrior. But all we have to do is believe that they're going to get a new leader, and they should get a new leader, you know?
I know, right? I mean, they were in search of one tonight. They tried Seth Rollins. They wanted to be the new Shield. That apparently did not work. They wanted to join the Balor Club, but even I thought the Balor Club was for everyone except for those two.
I think it is for everyone. It's an honorary membership. You're not actually, you don't get to throw up the too sweet and everything.
They're not allowed to too sweet.
You're not allowed to too sweet, but the only reason I want them to find a new leader is because I want them to stay on TV every week and win titles and generally be happy, because I adore Bo Dallas and Curtis Axel to a lesser extent, but mainly Bo Dallas. And I really want him to have nice things. And after a year and a half of him not being on TV or being underused, he's back on. He's, in main events. He's doing great. He's got a good thing going for him. And then, they split them up, which that happens. But now it's like, I don't want him and Curtis to go back to obscurity.
I don't think anyone does.
I want them to stay in the forefront of Raw and maybe win the tag titles. That'd be awesome. But I mean, they maybe need someone to help them along the way. So somebody at Raw could kindly adopt Bo Dallas and Curtis Axel. That would be very much appreciated.
Well, there are two people who can probably adopt them and make them better.
Well, I mean, one of them for sure has plenty of experience adopting strange people and making them better.
You take them to a lake, you reincarnate them into something else.
No, don't take them to the lake. A creature lives in the lake.
Brother Curtis. Could be a thing. They could become woken.
Actually, I would be really, really worried for Curtis that he would become Brother McGillicuddy.
Brother McGillicuddy.
just really kind of...
I kind of want that now, though. As sad as that sounds, I kind of want that to be a thing.
No. Bo doesn't even have a good middle name. Well, he has a nice middle name, but it's not like a good... It's not like Lawrence. It's Michael. So it's like, I was going to say Brother Michael, but no, nobody would really know who that is. So Brother Bo, he could be BB. BB.
The last time we saw a BB on WWE TV, her things were all the way out, and yeah.
Oh, I know.
I wonder how many people understand that reference or remember that. Anyway, speaking of the deleter of worlds, thoughts on their promo backstage?
Okay, y'all.
You know when she's serious when you say y'all.
I appreciate what you're trying to do here. Not a fan of it, but I appreciate what you're trying to do. You really, in terms of camera angles, shouldn't put Bray Wyatt, wrong brother, a young, supple, I guess you want to term it, Bray Wyatt next to Matt Hardy, who is not as young and not as supple, because especially at that close of an angle, because yeah, it's not a good look for either of them. It makes Bray look really, really, really baby-faced when he stands next to Matt. Like, you see exactly how young he is in comparison. I'm not saying that's necessarily bad, but just it didn't look good, you know?
I'm following you.
So that's my whole thing. You know, it's when they did that and they had Bray and Matt standing next to each other, especially, like, it's okay for the head-on shot. It's not as bad, but when they showed Matt in profile and you could see the thinning hairline and you could see the speckled skin, you could see everything, like all the flaws there. Not that there's anything wrong with the flaws, but you could see all the flaws, and you have Bray Wyatt walk up and, you know, he's got the hat on with the really thick dreads, so you can't see his fading hairline, but he's got the nice skin and everything like that. It's like, ooh, and no wrinkles. He has no wrinkles. It's like, ooh, that's bad. So yeah, wasn't the best look for Matt Hardy.
For housekeeping's sake, Seth Rollins and Finn Balor beat Bo and Curtis. Bray and Matt beat The Ascension.
Or Ascension.
Matt and Bray are finding themselves. Their entrance together is improving.
Still bitter about the twirl.
I know, you're still bitter about the twirl.
Very, very, very bitter about the twirl.
I know. One thing we need to talk about, speaking of tag teams, is Dolph Ziggler and Drew McIntyre defeated Titus Worldwide. They added drums to Drew's music. Dolph finally has someone to watch his back, and that's Drew McIntyre. And they're going to be a solid tag team together. The most devastating part of their act is the finish. They actually have a really good double team finish maneuver, which will work for them at some point if you had a full on real tag division, which is the Claymore and the Zigzag together. That's a nice combination.
Yeah, I mean, you can tell that they're refocusing on tag teams and they're looking to improve the tag team division on Raw and make it stronger, because tag teams were really kind of the focus tonight, but not really. But you see that, you know, with like Bray and Matt and Dolph and Drew and Kevin Owens and Sami Zayn and a couple of the other ones, that they're purposefully forming teams to reinvigorate the tag team division on Raw.
So speaking of Kevin Owens and Sami Zayn, they hosted the first ever Sami and Kevin show on Monday Night Raw, which included having a desk where they could tell jokes. Like taking shots at, you know, The Undertaker, sort of.
I really love that whenever Taker shows up, he has suitors.
Yeah.
That's kind of awesome that he has suitors. Like, dude doesn't even, you know, need to, like, even try. He just walks in the building and everybody wants him.
Well,
and he probably doesn't even care. He's just like, whatevs.
Whatevs.
Sup, bitches, I'm here.
Hearing The Undertaker say, whatevs, in his The Undertaker voice would be really weird and awkward.
I promise you he said it.
But in the Taker voice, though?
In the Taker voice would be funny. Well, it's like Let the Good Times Roll, where he just walked out and did that for Mania this year when they announced it last year. In that deadpan, gravelly voice of his, Let the Good Times Roll, just flat as a rock.
Mm-hmm.
That was terrible, but it was amazing at the same time.
So, give it up to Sami Zayn for his Vince McMahon impersonation that he does now.
Yep.
When he pulls out the glasses. It's tremendous.
It's great.
So they mocked the Kurt Angle song, and they took some shots at the number of kids that Kurt Angle has. It's five. No, it's six. It's five. It's six. And then they counted. Oh, yeah. Jason Jordan. So we're taking a shot at the Jason Jordan angle, which was nice. Kurt reminded us that he is going to be part of the Greatest Royal Rumble match. So was Kevin. So was Sammy. So was Chris Jericho. So was Daniel Bryan. And Shane McMahon will also be in it. So he reminded us that. They had nice comfy chairs for Kevin and Sammy, and Kevin and Sammy was like, oh, we gotta give Kurt a chair, so they gave him a lawn chair.
At least they had something for him.
They were prepared. It was a lawn chair. So he then booked them in a match against Bobby Lashley and Braun Strowman. As figures, Braun and Bobby would win the match. The match was fine. Braun just destroys human beings.
Yes, yes, he does. Yes, Braun destroy. Again, it's like, I don't know why whenever you're in a match with Braun Strowman, it's like, I'm just gonna try. It's like, why would you? Just lay down. Just seriously, you can't outsmart the man. You can't outrun him. You can't overpower him. But the best thing you could do is to bring a whole turkey with you to the ring and present it to him. Wait for him to eat it, fall asleep, and then you lay on top of him. That's the only way I've figured out so far that you could beat Braun Strowman without possibly dying. Well, there's another way, but it's really not PG.
Yeah, that's true.
If y'all catch my drift.
Yeah. Anyway, moving on, he says, no way Rose came to the ring with his conga buds. He's scheduled to face Baron Corbin. Baron Corbin had wanted no part of it.
His Fiesta fans.
Corbin didn't want to fight No Way Jose if those people were around the ringside. So Corbin left. They all left. Corbin then came out and attacked them. What a shocker. Okay. There's nothing much to it. It was a thing. Any comment?
It was a thing.
Analysis. Good. Chad Gable made his Monday Night Raw debut, talking to Kurt Angle, says he's here for it to be a single star, not as a tag team. Jinder Mahal came in the office and was like complaining about losing the title. He gets it back. He wants to go back to SmackDown. Gable talked about told him to have respect. Then they got into it. Kurt Angle booked Jinder Mahal versus Chad Gable. No one cares about Jinder Mahal, because reasons. And yes, Chad Gable got the win.
I feel really bad for Jinder, because he's trying so hard. You can tell. But I feel like everything they're doing for him, especially as a heel, is just making it worse. I'm sorry. It's not resonating with me. I appreciate how hard he's trying, but it's just not working for me. I don't know. I feel really bad for him, which is not what you're supposed to feel.
No, that is not what you're supposed to feel. I just don't care about Jinder.
The stupid thing about Jinder is, like, I really want to care, but it's like, again, you know, I just can't. It's really difficult.
It really is. It really, truly is.
Again, I still maintain that when he won the title, if they had made him a babyface, I feel like everybody would feel the same. You know, we all would have reacted the same, which is like, oh my God, yay, he did it. He finally did it after years of being, you know, on the bottom. He's at the top. He won the title. Like, that's what everybody felt. Like, everybody was super excited for that. And it's like, and they just were like, yeah, so we're going to make him a bad guy. What? Why? Why are you going to make him a bad guy? We're all super proud of him. We're all really happy for him. And you're just going to have him walk out and be like, yeah, screw you all. So I think that's why it's like a lot of people are like meh on him, is because it's like, we all cared, right?
Sort of.
We all sort of cared for 5 minutes when he won that title. And then they were just like, yeah, no, we're going to crap all over this. And I know there are people who care about him and they're really into this and they're really liking this. And I applaud them, but I'm just one of those people where it's like, I can't get into this no matter what I do. And it's like him walking around with his face all twisted up, looking all snarly and stuff. I'm like, oh, honey, that's so not a good look on you. It's just, it's not.
We shall move on. Elias beats Bobby Roode. What?
That was unexpected.
I was expecting on the roll, like he got him on the, like he pulled him through the rope. So the rope hurt him and then went for the roll. But I was like, I was waiting for the tights. He didn't pull the tights. Did he forget to pull it? I don't know. It was weird.
Yeah, there might have been a little slip up there. I'm not sure, though, but it was good.
It was fine, but it was a weird ending. A
little bit.
Then let's talk about the star of the show. One, it was a great tribute to Bruno Sammartino, but that's not the part I want to talk about. Part I want to talk about is Paul Heyman comes down. You know, he says how Brock doesn't want to gloat. Paul will. Lesnar doesn't gloat. He conquers. Paul Heyman gloats all night long. Okay. He gloats over the fact that Lesnar took Reigns to Suplex City. He beat him at WrestleMania. Heyman says none of it means anything to Lesnar because he doesn't dwell on the past. He looks forward to the future. He craves a UFC fight so badly that he will fly across the globe to be locked inside a cage with Roman Reigns. There are a few people where there's like, they cut to the crowd. There's like six people chanting for Roman. So like, they're trying to zoom in on them. Bless them. Heyman asks if they really think being in a cage with Roman, with Brock is a good idea for what being in a cage with Brock was Roman's idea. He said no. He had no other choice. Heyman said Lesnar requested Reigns for a fight for the title in a cage. Heyman said the odds are stacked against Reigns even more than they were at WrestleMania. He said that's a spoiler. Heyman said Lesnar is going to shred Reigns to the point that he will come back in multiple boxes.
Oh my.
He's a married man too. So,
that could get very expensive.
It could. Roman Reigns comes out.
Back in the tactical gear.
Somewhat. He wore a t-shirt, but yes. He was not laid-back Roman.
I like laid-back Roman. I think it's a better look on him.
He says, I don't know how I'll get back, but I'm coming home with that title. You can believe that. Doo-doo, doo-doo. Really didn't set the world on fire. There was nothing in that promo that gave me confidence in Roman Reigns. Like, Michael Cole was going like, look at him get in the ring and get face-to-face with Brock Lesnar. They were about 10 feet apart. He did not inspire confidence. He's supposed to be the babyface, and he did not inspire any confidence. Like, he came out, said 10 words, and that was it. I'm supposed to buy him as the next WWE Universal Champion? Is that what's supposed to happen here?
But okay, think about it for a second. Brock hasn't been here since WrestleMania.
It's 2 weeks.
But still, Brock hasn't shown up since WrestleMania. They're building a title feud again, like they did with WrestleMania without Brock. And the biggest thing is they don't have the time in between Mania and Greatest Royal Rumble to reestablish Roman as a contender.
They don't need to. They explained that part. I want confidence out of words he speaks.
Dude, he just got his ass kicked. I don't think he has confidence. I think it's Roman's like, I'm going to come home with the title because it's the only thing he knows to say. It's like, what else can he say? Because he said it before WrestleMania. It's like, he can't claim that he's better than Brock because Brock proved on that night that he was better. You can't have Roman say, oh, well, you know, you're a part-timer, you know, da-da-da-da-da, because again, that doesn't hold any weight. Like, anything Roman Reigns says right now doesn't necessarily hold any weight because he just lost to Brock 2 weeks ago.
Then they should have had them fight.
I'm not disagreeing with that, but it's, I don't know what else they could have said or done, really, to get people to invest in this match. Because, again, it's like the time frame is so short on it, and Brock has such limited dates that it's like, what can you really do?
The dates don't matter when they're in the same ring together. Roman looked weak, and that's the problem.
Well, maybe it was intentional.
That doesn't inspire confidence.
I feel like they've kept Roman out of the ring since Mania. Intentionally out of the ring since Mania. So I kind of wonder if there's something going on with him. I don't know, though.
He's fine. He wrestled in South Africa. He was fine. He wrestled in main events. Just everything that was done tonight did not inspire confidence, did not give me hope for, like, oh my god, I'm supposed to buy into this number one babyface against the number one heel for the Universal Championship. It sold nothing. And that was my problem. They could have done something better. This was a waste.
Oh, I'm not disagreeing with that at all. I don't think it did any favors for Roman, but just thinking about it, I just don't know what else they could have done.
Better material.
Well, yeah, better material would have helped, but I just...
What they could have done is a sit-down interview with Roman Reigns and tell him why he needs... Like, give from his story side of it, sit down with Roman Reigns and have him express what he really thinks about this match with Brock Lesnar, what he really wants to make happen with it. Oh, I'm going to leave with the title. Like, no. You could have sat down, get a 5-minute backstage, you know, sit-down interview with him and Renee Young, and had him, or Michael Cole, or whoever you wanted, and had him put himself over. He didn't put himself over here, and that hurt. It just really hurt.
Because I don't think he necessarily, like, he cares, but he doesn't care. It's like, let's just get this over with.
Let's get this ass-kicking over with. Because if Roman walks out with the title, then this was pointless.
Well, he's going to walk out with the title.
Is he?
I don't know. How long is Brock signed for?
That's a good question.
They can't leave it on Brock much longer. They really can't. Because it's, okay, Roman Reigns is the guy that they've built up to beat Brock Lesnar. And now you're saying that the guy that they've spent the last year building to beat Brock Lesnar is not going to beat Brock. And we have to wait another 6 months to a year for the next guy, presumably Bobby Lashley, to get built up into a place where he can challenge Brock and he can beat Brock. No. Uh-uh. No.
Here's the thing.
You don't need the title in the mix for that.
Here's the thing. It's not can't. It's shouldn't, and can are two different things. They shouldn't do that. Can't, well, they can do whatever they want.
Oh, I know they can do whatever they want. Like, I'm not saying that they can't, but I'm just saying they shouldn't.
Yeah, that's a better phrase for it. They shouldn't.
They shouldn't do that, because it's like, it's a waste. I'm sorry. If you really need the title in the mix that much, take it off Brock while you build Lashley. Have Brock come back. Have Brock challenge whoever's got the title for the title. He wins it, and then Bobby Lashley takes it off of Brock. Like, that's all you have to do. You don't need to leave the title on Brock for the time being until you build up Bobby Lashley. Because, again, that's going to be 6 months. At least 6 months, if not longer.
Or Braun Strowman.
I'm okay with Braun Strowman. I'm okay with Braun Strowman coming out and beating Brock. He should have beaten Brock the first time.
Like, there's no need to build up anyone. Braun is ready. Just saying. Anyway, we'll talk more about that Thursday. 10 p.m. Eastern on the Rack as we preview the greatest Royal Rumble.
Yep.
Can we give 5 stars to the moment of bliss with Alexa Bliss?
The moment of bliss with Alexa Bliss was awesome.
That was awesome. I can't recap it. Go find it on their YouTube channel. She talked about bullying. It was tremendous. 5 stars all the way. More. Give me more. Then our main event, Ember Moon, Nia Jax, Sasha Banks, Bayley, and Natalya taking on Alexa Bliss, Mickey James, Ruth Wright, Sarah Logan, and Liv Morgan. The story of the match, Bayley and Sasha before the match sort of had an awkward backstage moment backstage. And then the story was Natalya had the sharpshooter on, and then Sarah Logan with a chop lock on Natalya, injuring her right knee, and then Mickey James took advantage of that, kicking her to the outside, so Natalya was selling her injury on the outside. Then all the women were on the one side of the ring. Nia Jax came crashing down to everyone, the big splash on everyone. So everyone was concerned. They were getting Natalya back up, and then Mickey James somehow, who was checking on Alexa, who really didn't do anything, so it caused some speculation there that she got something done. Internet goes crazy. She goes over to, Natalya and kicks her again as she's trying to get up. Well, that was the biggest mistake she ever made. So out came Ronda Rousey. And one quick throw down, and an armbar later, and Mickey James was tapping out. So Rousey came out to help her friend, helped her to the back to end Monday Night Raw. I like the angle. I like that we're going to get a serious Natalya versus Mickey match. We're getting Ronda versus Mickey on the European tour, which will get her somewhere, and you're building the friendship between Ronda and Natalya for an eventual matchup there. I love everything about that. Thought the match was fine, but it was a good thing, good story to tell with Ronda at the end.
Yeah, my only criticism of Ronda Rousey is this. I wish they would have her walk to the ring and not have her walk like a cyborg. That's my only really criticism of it. Like, I get she's trying to do the angry walk, but it's very robotic. And I know it's going to come a time where she kind of gets into a groove and she relaxes, or maybe that's what she's going for. I don't know, but it's almost borderline comical with how stiff it is, and that's not what you want for her. So it's like, you know, have her do the pissed off face, but have her not be so stiff when she walks. I don't know. But it's just like, this is now like the second or third time that I've seen her do it, and I'm like, oh no, if this is gonna be long term, I can't deal with this. I'm gonna start laughing at this, and that's not what you want.
But her being a badass is still amazing.
Oh, her being a badass is still amazing, and her, you know, trying to break Mickey James's arm was funny as crap, because it's like, Mickey drop kicks her, and then you're standing there, and you see the look on Mickey's face, and it's like, oh honey, you have miscalculated so bad. Run. Just run.
So for those worried about Ronda Rousey taking a break, nope.
No, she's not. She's with WWE full time.
She's as full time as she can do. And they're not overusing her. They're using her perfectly in her role. It's perfect.
Well, yeah, for right now. And I mean, it's something that she's still learning. She's still adjusting. And they're breaking her in very, very slowly. They're making her the attraction that she should be. And they're making her special. She's there every week. And she may show up in some capacity, but they're not oversaturating with her right now, which is what you want. And they can slowly build her towards taking the title, eventually probably off of Nia, I would guess.
I don't think it would be Nia. I would think it would be whatever heel they want to put that belt on at some point.
Yeah, but they're slowly pointing her towards that title and steadily building her into the division and breaking her in and that kind of thing. What will be interesting is if they bring Shayna up before she wins that title and they kind of start doing the Four Horsewomen. And that's what they really build to, is Four Horsewomen versus Four Horsewomen.
They could. I doubt it, but they could.
They could.
But that was a very lackluster role, though.
Yeah, it kind of drug a little bit. Like, there was one point where we looked up and it was like, oh god, it's only 10. Oh jeez, it's only 10. We still have an hour. So that was really difficult. See, that's why you don't put Bray Wyatt on early in the show. Like, halfway is kind of good. But, not early.
But Ronda saving it at the end was really good. So this has been the Raw Post Show live right here on the Wild Talk Radio Network. Go back and listen to 3 episodes of The Rack that have been produced already this week, including The Rack Extra Reviews, Timeless Season 2 Episode 6, The Royals Episode 7 of Season 4, and a very special Impact Wrestling Redemption review that I did today. All available now at rockradioshow.com. But this Thursday, we are live, 10 p.m. Eastern.
That's right. Tune in. We are going to be previewing the greatest Royal Rumble. We will be talking about all 27 matches that are going to be on that card. It'll be a total of 5 hours. Yay. Can't wait for that. Plus news, notes, SmackDown, NXT, all your favorites. It's The Rack. Thursday nights, 10 p.m. Eastern, right here on WildTalkRadio.com.
Rack Radio Show on Facebook, Twitter, Instagram, Stitcher, iTunes, Google Play. Saturday night, midnight-ish at TV Radio. We'll be doing the Greater the Great debate on mascots and more. TV Radio Live, Facebook, Twitter, and .com. Hashtag Blame Rob when a celebrity dies. WTR Sunday Night, Wrestle Talk Radio, 10 p.m. Eastern. They'll be previewing Backlash and reviewing the greatest Royal Rumble this Sunday, 10 p.m. Eastern. WTR Sunday Night on Facebook, Twitter, WrestleTalkRadio.com to keep up on the all-time greatest. We'll be back next Monday night for the Wild Post Show live right here on the Wild Talk Radio Network at Wild Talk Radio, Facebook.com/Wild Talk Radio Network.
You can follow me on Twitter at LinsWard, LNSWRD, and go to my website, psychwarddesigns.com. If you'd like my artwork, if you'd like to view my artwork, it is available for your viewing pleasure at behance.net/LinsWard, same as the Twitters.
Girlwork.net and MBG Films, youtube.com/MBG1211. She's Lindsay, I'm Rocco. See you Thursday night for The Rec. I'm right back here for the Raw Post Show, right here along the airwaves of the Wild Talk Radio Network at wildtalkradio.com.
Past the new generation.
WildTalkRadio.com.